on today's Compassion Radio.
When the conflict is so great, sometimes you just have to keep it in perspective that God's doing an awesome work. And when you're working in these hard areas and the places that Greg's going or the scariness of sending him, I have to trust that God has a plan and a purpose and be really good with that, because then I'm not going to be worried about him. You know, he's called us as a family, and I'm trusting God because he always has come through.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Transcending talk and crossing borders, building bridges and loving enemies, all in Jesus' name. Welcome, friend, to the Daily Radio Ministry Journal of Compassion Radio, your everyday update of the amazing things God is doing around the world and right here in our own backyard. So much of our ministry work is focused overseas, having led humanitarian projects in 33 countries around the globe, thanks to the travels of Norm and Cher Nelson, and more recently, Bram and Sandy Floria. And today, we're going to shine the spotlight on a missionary family who live here in the States, but all the while are making a tremendous impact overseas. And we're going to hear about that today. By the way, it's not always easy for their family life. And we'll hear about that, too. Here's Bram.
It is a joy to be back around the table with Greg Kelly of World Mission. Now, Grand Rapids is a beautiful place right now, especially with the blue sky out there. But, friend, you saved up all the snow for us for this one trip.
Just for you, Bram. We knew that you were coming up, and we just didn't want you to get too spoiled, so we left it at a nice low 20 degree. There's the snow, so you can enjoy it.
Yes, this place has a very special place in our hearts because our daughter's just down the road going to college, and we're here because of a faith and development conference that Calvin College was sponsoring. And we've met a lot of incredibly motivated missional millennials who are very curious about what kind of technology can be used to further the gospel and to make a real difference in people's lives around the world. You've had a presence there at the conference, too, with the World Missions Treasure product, and that's something we've gotten behind at Compassion Radio many times. So I want to hear more about how God's bringing that along, but I just want to celebrate the fact that there are hundreds of people that came to this conference, young people, that are not just willing to be convinced. They're already convinced. They're wondering why we're not moving as fast as they are. They want to get out there and change the world. And that was really encouraging. Your technology, this treasure, this little MP3 player, a seminary in a box that you are exporting around the world, is transforming lives and still reaching places that will never be reached by traditional methods. There are so many people around the world that only communicate orally because they're not readers yet.
That's right. Yeah, what they say, Bram, is of the 7.6 billion people that are in the world today, some two-thirds of them fall into that category. They're oral learners, so they prefer to learn in a non-literate way. And I think for the first time in the history of missions, the church is finally starting to wake up to that truth, because for years and years, it was just a process of find a new language, translate it, print it, distribute it, and move on. And meanwhile, we're leaving two-thirds of the people in our wake who the word will never go into their heart. So that's really the foundational vision of World Mission and the Treasure, getting the gospel to oral learners and unreached people groups.
Now, we at Compassion Radio are committed to every methodology that's going to get the word of God into the hands and the hearts and the minds of those who are willing to let it in. So we stand behind the quality printing of the Bible, long-lasting prints that pastors can hold and that students can really dig into in all of those countries where the written language is something that they aspire to and are committed to make sure their people are literate. But even in those countries where the printed Bible is so effective, there's still many millions within those countries that don't have the privilege of going to school to learn how to read. And that's exactly where you're fitting in. So whether in developed countries where there's a big stratification of education, whether they're developing countries that have no process yet for educating for the written word, there's still ears. Absolutely. Everywhere there's ears. And even where we're putting printed Bibles, it's because the word is being proclaimed. So pastors that have their one copy are in a listening group because they've got the copy, and so many others are brand new believers or are coming to Christ that don't have a Bible of their own. So every one of these methodologies still comes down to the spoken and received word of God from lips to ears to hearts. And you play an incredible role in that process. And as we talked about earlier, the 1040 window all the way from West Africa through the Southeast Asia is busting wide open now with opportunities to bring these kind of technologies right to the very center of the people who are most hungry for the Word of God. So that's what we're here to celebrate.
Amen.
Today. Now, around the table with us, your wife Kathy is joining us, and she has a special responsibility here at World Mission. I want to hear more about that. And my wife Sandy is sitting with me as well. I want this to be a discussion amongst friends and married couples. Mm-hmm. And you have a similar situation in your family. You've got grown kids and young kids together. Some are off and running. In fact, you've got a wedding coming up.
We do.
Two weddings.
Two.
Not too long from now. Your kids are about the same ages as ours, and I'm not in any rush for my girls to get married, but they're of that age where they could if they wanted to. We feel akin with you, and you warm our hearts. We see the love you have for each other. We've heard the stories about your kids. But you've also got a lot of spiritual children around the world that you are very proud to speak of. And this morning, Greg, you talked about people right now that are bearing the responsibility and the danger and the consequence of being the front line of the gospel in many countries. Can the two of you, first of all, just tell me what it's like to work in that environment? How do the two of you work together in the same building? And how do you bear the weightiness of the kind of work that you do? You're not just making widgets here. You're transforming the planet because you have taken up that mantle of saying, I'm going to become a media missionary.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is my 20th year as the CEO of World Mission. I like to think of myself as a good mobilizer and recruiter, but it took me 15 years to recruit Kathy to become officially a part of our staff. Of course, we do it together. And anytime I'm talking about being the CEO of World Mission for 20 years, I always put it in the context of it's impossible without my family, and especially Kath. It's been special and awesome to have her here as sort of an official member of World Mission as well in the last 5 years. So,
now, considering how much you have to travel, I guess seeing each other in the office is kind of a benefit because it's one of the few times you might actually connect on the days you're actually home. So, Kathy, what do you do here?
I'm in charge of the human resources. It's made it so that I have really good contact with all the employees, know everybody by name, and so I take care of just their needs. But we were talking about how is it for Greg and I at work. It's kind of a fun built-in date on occasion. You know, we try to date each other once a week, and if we're not getting dates at night, then it works at lunch. We'll skip away somewhere and just have some time. So that's been nice. I just work in the office 2 days a week, so that's nice since we still have children at home. All five are still living at home, so that's nice to have a little bit more balance. Just a couple days a week works well for our family.
And two of them are about to get married, so things are about to radically change with your family.
Yes, our oldest two, we have a daughter, 23, and a son that's 21, and they're both getting married.
Awesome.
One in 2 months, and the next one in 4 months. So.
Between all of that, you have to let your husband go run around the planet and see what God's doing on the front lines.
Yes.
How do you feel when you know that God's calling you to go, and you make that decision to follow Him? Is your family on board with all this, Greg, so that when you have to leave, that they're on mission together with you? I know a lot of people in ministry feel like they're torn away all the time. They don't have a buy-in. They feel like there's a competition or a tear within the family. How do you deal with it?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a challenge. And being away from Kathy and our five children, there's no doubt that there's a challenge to that. But we've always, from the beginning, 20 years ago when the Lord called us here, we really set out for our audio and our video to line up. And what I mean by that is we said, okay, the Lord is priority number one. And everything we do, our life, we want that to be a reflection of Jesus as our Lord. And then secondly, as my role as a father and a husband, of course, being my second highest responsibility. And then thirdly, the work here at World Mission. Although we say that, I know a lot of people in ministry, there's nobody I know who doesn't believe that, that it's the Lord and then our family and then our ministry. But sometimes the audio and the video don't line up. The manifestation of that, sometimes family just gets shortchanged. And so Kath and I talk a lot about that, and we talk about what the commitment of the ministry takes, and especially when I'm traveling. There's not a trip that I do that I don't have Kathy sign off on it. Sometimes it's a quick sign-off. Other times it's more discussion. Where are you going to? What does that look like? And sometimes I have to be careful about how much I share and maybe wait for a year until I share all the details of what happened on a trip. I'm only gone probably about 5 weeks of the year, maybe six internationally. So we try and balance that. Okay. There's no doubt that every time I'm gone, that is a big commitment. And for unique reasons, too, with our family, because we have five children, but we have one special child. That puts more pressure on Kathy. Mm-hmm. Our daughter, Michaela, has special needs. And every time I'm gone, Kath's, you know, solo in a lot of ways. I don't want my family to be a casualty to the ministry because I'm out, you know, mm-hmm. chasing God on all these adventures. We do have that discussion a lot.
Mm. Yeah. Kathy, you mentioned that it's only 5 weeks a year. Does it feel like that when he's gone?
Yeah, it does feel long, but, you know, as a family, we feel so privileged that we're able to live here where we have some different supports and family around. So we really, as a family, join in and are excited about what God's doing and feel very much a part, but yet we're able to stay mm-hmm. here, I think, just with the different needs, that it's comforting to know that we have a certain setup and we can kind of handle things at home. You know, it's a discussion that we have, and we're careful how we kind of manage that. And if certain things are coming up, then we might have to postpone a trip. But I appreciate that I'm part of that, and I think that's really key, that Greg never presents that, no, I'm going to do this. It's all about, can we manage this, and do you feel good about that?
Well, every couple has their unique challenges to face, and the one we're hearing from today is certainly no different. And we'll get right back to the discussion after this quick word from Bram Floria about how God is moving this ministry forward in 2018.
Friends, thank you again for how you give to make the name of the Lord known in all the corners of the globe. We know you have 1,000 places where you can give each month, and that you choose us humbles us. We're very grateful. We continue to make progress on funding each of our vitally important projects and to bring you important stories of breathtaking scope because you make it possible. I can't say this enough. Compassion Radio does what no one else does, and we help those who take the Great Commission seriously. So I'm going to ask you again with all sincerity, would you join us? If you never have, now is the day to do it. Jim Governale will tell you how you can get started right away and help us to remain on the air as your radio voice for global mission. Thank you so much.
And we're looking for new members to join our Compassion Radio Vision Team with an ongoing monthly gift of any size. It's gifts like these that provide the bedrock, the backbone for all that we do. Thanks, friend, in advance for your support of this unique boots-on-the-ground radio ministry. Reach us by phone by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or online at CompassionRadio.com. And we'll be sure to repeat this information at the end of the broadcast. Let's get back now to the interview.
Greg never presents that, no, I'm going to do this. It's all about, can we manage this, and do you feel good about that? So I appreciate that greatly.
I imagine there are probably some times where it doesn't seem to add up. You know that God's saying Greg's got to go, and you're in agreement with that, but there's no way in your own strength you're going to be able to pull it all together, and you feel that. And there's no way you, Greg, while you're going, can manage for her or help or assist in ways that seem practical to your wife while you're gone, serving the Lord where he's called you to go. How do you tap into God's strength and his vision for what's happening here and trust he's really going to take care of your family? And how do you, Kathy, trust that God's really going to carry your husband while you can't be there at his side? And how do you both trust that God's got your kids in the palm of his hand when the attacks are coming from different directions?
One of our life verses, Bram, is 2 Corinthians 12:9, that says, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. And I think for both of us, you know, Kath, when I'm gone, and you're a team, right? When you're together and you're doing life together, and that in and of itself has its own set of challenges. But then just being alone, all the more. But I think we really recognize that where God leads, God will provide, applies to every area of our lives, our finances, our resources, our mental well-being, our emotional stability. God will provide when he leads and when he's calling us to do something. That's one aspect of it. The other side of it is Kathy's never made me feel guilty for going, because that would be a weight that would probably be unbearable, you know, like what I'm doing to my family. But I think that goes back to when I am gone, we do it together. Mm. In all these years, Kathy's only been able to travel with me once. We hoped that that will change, and you know, as we become closer to empty nesters. But Kathy, when she gives her blessing, that's like an infusion of confidence and energy that I receive from that, that allows me to do what God has when I'm away. But at the same time, I know that He's going to be taking care of her when I'm gone.
I had a mentor when I was still single that said, the choice of your wife will either double your ministry or cut it in half. There's no other math.
Yeah.
So you choose wisely. Mm-hmm. It seems like you've got more than a helpmate here. You've got a partner and someone that can really lead, because she's rooted into what the Spirit of God is doing. You both have faith that He's going to do His work in you and around you. And you certainly have seen how He does His work in miraculous ways around the whole world.
Yeah.
So for any family that's trying to figure out, how do we get on mission? Maybe they haven't been involved in ministry before, but they want that for their family. They want their family to be on mission together. They have a feeling that God's calling them to that. What would be your encouragement as a couple?
As a couple, the importance of being unified in the call, that it's something that you both need to be called to. And I was thinking as we were talking that part of the hardness of when Greg is gone, the things that happen, anytime one of the kids broke something, he was out of the country. You know, every time, just these really big things. But you know what I would always know? Boy, the enemy wants to discourage, and something awesome must be happening. So to see it in the spirit realm, that when the conflict is so great, sometimes you just have to keep it in perspective that God's doing an awesome work. And when you're working in these hard areas and the places that Greg's going, or the scariness of sending him, I have to trust that God has a plan and a purpose, and be really good with that, because then I'm not going to be worried about him. You know, He's called us as a family, and I'm trusting God because He always has come through. So things have happened, yes, but has God sent somebody to be there with us? Yes, He has. And has everything been fine? Yes, it has. So it's just that knowing things happen, but God has a plan and a purpose, and He's going to provide anything we need. So it's kind of like I just know.
That comes with spending a lot of time before the Lord, crying out to Him in humility and your own weakness, realizing your own weakness, and surrendering that to the Lord. That's not easy stuff, but it's right, and it gets more and more easy to do as you go along, seeing how the Lord works as you surrender, as you walk in obedience every day and choose it every day. It is a choice.
Right.
It's not just, oh yeah, God's going to take care of things. I know that's not what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I know that's born of deep passion for the Lord and commitment to His Word and hearing from Him.
Yep. And being unified in call and purpose, taken one day at a time. I mean, that's why it says, don't worry about tomorrow. Yeah. God will give us what we need that day. Sometimes when Greg's gone, I can't wait to go to sleep because the day's been hard and I'm ready for the new day because I feel like I've spent, and that's okay.
His mercies are new every morning, so bring the morning.
Exactly.
Some new mercy.
Right.
That unity thing, though, is critical. Mm-hmm. I think that in ministry, pastoral, nonprofit, missions, you know, whatever it happens to be, statistics would bear this out, that a lot of times the guy or the, whoever the lead is, as they're hearing God, they tend to kind of muscle that in to the relationship and say, God's really leading us in this direction. And the spouse has a tendency to not question that or maybe push back a little bit and say, hey, let's work that through, for fear of, you know, getting in the way of what God is doing. Mm. That then gets suppressed and can become a real obstacle that will rear its ugly head at some point in that relationship. You know, Jesus in His heavenly prayer to the Father in John 17 was saying, Father, I pray that they would be one so that the world would know the Father sent the Son. And I think that's critical in our marriages and in our relationships, because you can say you're united, but your actions and your nonverbal expressions can maybe tell a very different story. And that's dangerous for a relationship to carry that. So I think the commitment to unity and really going through that, Kath and I give her an opportunity when she's talking to me about stuff. I listen to her. I don't press her down. There's times where she said, I just really don't think you should go that time. I don't even ask. She has the trump card.
Yeah.
And can call off any trip. And I don't say, well, no, this is what God, and I have all these special, I don't throw that back at her. If she has a check, that's good enough.
And, so it's not just her check. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through
her. Through her, exactly. Yeah. But I think the relationship, you need to be at that place to allow your partner that voice, because God's brought you together as one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a dangerous proposition to start fragmenting that over and over and over again.
I don't know if there's anything more threatening to the Christian witness in society besides a divorce than a dead marriage.
Yeah.
And if people see people standing in the place of authority within the church and they're visibly, emotionally, perceptually dead in their hearts toward each other, what does that say about the God they serve? Mm-hmm. So I think the discipline you're building into your marriage of making sure that the Holy Spirit is allowed to speak with authority through each of the partners in this marriage is essential, not just the effectiveness of your witness and your reputation as an organization, but simply as a witness in the world for what God is trying to do to transform the world through families. We go out there, we serve the family of God around the world, and we can't go out there if we're serving from a place of deadness that God has not redeemed. I just appreciate your witness and the way you live, and thank you for sharing a bit about that today. We need to move on to another program to talk about the things that are happening out there in front lines, and I want to do that in the next program. Are you able to stay with us for a few more minutes?
Absolutely. Would love to.
We've been with Greg and Kathy Kelly from World Mission here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We'll get back to more of this in the next program.
The struggle you're facing is slowly replacing your hope with despair, or the process is long and you're losing your song in the night. You can be sure that the Lord has His hand on you, safe and secure. He will never abandon you. You are His treasure, and He finds His pleasure in you.
Friends, here at Compassion Radio, we certainly do thank the Lord for you, especially those who support this ministry have again proven themselves faithful. It's a wonderful thing. For it's not only an act of faith in supporting this ministry, but we here live by faith. We don't know what kind of resources are going to come in month to month. We have no way to orchestrate that. We really are at the discretion of God and the Holy Spirit, prompting the hearts of people and their faithful response. This isn't a business. This is a ministry. And frankly, we are at the discretion of God. If the Lord chooses to bring more, we have more. If He chooses, for whatever reason, to bring in less, we have less. But it seems in the end, God has continually laid upon the hearts of faithful people what we need. This generous, gracious giving does not go unnoticed. To that end, here's one last important word from Bram Floria.
In just a few more days, we'll begin our 75th year of ministry, which, when you think of it, is an astounding achievement in broadcasting. It's also a testament to the generations of faithful partnership that has truly changed the world. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to lead this ministry in a new era, a new century, and new generations of listening activist partners. In the days and weeks ahead, we'll be sharing some incredible new projects and initiatives that are going to have a profound and lasting effect on the body of Christ around the world. What is in the works is going to seriously amaze some of our most loyal supporters and inspire a whole new level of compassionate action and ministry. All of these things are directly related to the faithful support of partners, and that means you. Would you consider a special anniversary gift to the Lord for the work of Compassion Radio this month, even today? We have a truly unique mandate, you know this, to connect you with the work and witness of the worldwide kingdom of God. We're not just one agency doing good work in one place. We're the eyes and ears of the church in every corner of the globe. We bring you kingdom news that can transform your life, but we can only get those stories and bring them to you if you send us. Thank you for remembering us today with your special gifts and offerings. They are essential to our current work and to the future of Compassion Radio. Please give as generously as you can, and please do it today. And I can say with confidence of years witnessing this myself, God is truly pleased when we reach out and reach deep. God bless you, friends. Jimmy has some info on the unique and special thank you this month for your gift of support.
For your gift this month, we'd love to send you the first part of a new companion study to an upcoming series on the book of Ecclesiastes. It's available in PDF format by email or printed and mailed. The full study will be available this spring. Ask for your Section 1 today by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail, contact us at Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And, of course, you can find us online safe and secure at CompassionRadio.com. That phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Bram, Cher, and the entire Compassion Radio team, have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.